22 years after the release of the original Jurassic Park, this summer's blockbuster Jurassic World set box office records. Film critic Simone Beck takes a closer look at the fourth installment of the Jurassic franchise for this edition of SIU Reviews.
In the 1993 film Jurassic Park, we are encouraged to, in the words of Michael Allen, gaze longingly and closely at the CGI dinosaurs. Watching Jurassic World, I was fascinated that the love object of the filmic gaze, what the film encourages us to gaze longingly and closely at, are not the dinosaurs, but the theme park. The film makes this interest clear right from the start. We arrive at the island by following the journey of two young boys, Zach and Gray, from their home in snowy Wisconsin. The famous theme from Jurassic Park begins to play softly as their monorail glides through the original park gates. It continues as Gray runs into the Hilton Isla Nublar hotel lobby. But it is not until Gray throws open his hotel room balcony doors to gaze at the park that the iconic score climaxes. At this point, roughly 6 minutes into the film, we are treated to the longest uninterrupted shot so far as the camera slowly zooms across a man-made lagoon to the main area of the theme park. The film has fun showing us the various rides that make up Jurassic World, almost as if the film was an advertisement for a real vacation destination. There are montages of children riding baby triceratops at the Gentle Giants petting zoo, kayaking down the river on the Cretaceous cruise, and rolling alongside the dinosaurs safari-like in gyrospheres. It turns out that the places making up the Jurassic World Main Street set were constructed and filmed outside of New Orleans at the now-defunct Six Flags New Orleans. The city of New Orleans owns the abandoned amusement park, since Six Flags surveyed the post-Hurricane Katrina damage in 2005 and spent the next 3 years fighting and succeeding to terminate their 75-year lease on the property. However, as Nathan Matisse detailed for Wired magazine, the defunct amusement park has gotten a new life thanks to big-budget Hollywood productions. Although a few movies have used the crumbling park ruins, like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Jurassic World was interested in a different kind of structure offered by the park: the giant 40-acre parking lot, which is roughly the size of 6 football fields. So Jurassic World offers us an advertisement in loving detail for a theme park paradise we can never visit, a simulacrum of a place that will never be built, constructed in the ruins of a place destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. Films constantly construct fantasy locations with no reference to the real world. I never thought there was a real Isla Nublar. But it's strange that the fantasy space the film obsesses over was literally constructed adjacent to a destroyed tourist destination. Although theme parks are hardly public spaces, they do provide revenue for the city through tourism and jobs. Using Six Flags New Orleans as a film set garners money and some amount of jobs for the area, but it's not a space that families can enjoy together. It's almost a weird mutation of the Joni Mitchell song, Big Yellow Taxi, a song originally written about paving Hawaii and turning that into a tourist destination. They might have originally paved paradise and put up an amusement park with a spacious parking lot, but now we are left without a paradise and without an amusement park.
And Jurassic World is currently in limited re-release at an IMAX 3D theater near you. Simone Beck is a doctoral candidate in the College of Mass Communication and Media Arts at SIU. She is currently working on a dissertation about architectural space and the American television sitcom.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.